Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, radio listeners. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word International Ministries. Good morning. I am so blessed to be before you this morning. It's only by the grace of God that I do appear. It is not of my own merit, but it's only by the grace of God, because he allowed me once again to rise this morning with youth and activities of my limbs closed in my right mind. And I am grateful this morning to be able to lift up and just to say a little thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I count it worthy that he chose me. And Father, I am grateful. I pray that you and yours are blessed this morning. I pray that you are well. I pray, praise God, that you are, praise God, seeking the Lord, praise God, face now, that he might be found. Because there will come a time, my friend, that you will not be able to find him, but he will not be around. So don't get caught, praise God, in the mad rush, praise God, not knowing, praise God, to call him while he is near. Yes, calling on him while he is near. I am grateful, praise God, to just say, praise God, the Lord has been good, praise God, to me, and I pray that he's been the same to you. And I pray, praise God, that you have been seeking him, not man, but seeking after his righteousness, because that is what's going to, praise God, going to pay off in the end. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. Yes, only what you do for Christ. Everything else will pass away, but only what you do for Christ will stand. Amen. And this morning, let's go to the throne of grace to give God some praise, praise God, for allowing us to be able, praise God, to be among the living. Praise God. And Father, this morning we come, praise God, thanking you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. Thanking you, Father God, for how you have kept us and how you have watched over us, kept us from hurt, harm, and danger. You didn't let death come in and break the circle of love. But praise God, you had your angels to watch over it as we slumbered and we slept. But now, Father, we come to you this morning, then, asking, Lord Jesus, that you would, praise God, that you allow the angels, praise God, to stand, praise God, over us. And we thank you, praise God, for forgiving us of all of our iniquities, sins, and even our shortcomings. But, Father God, we stand before you, praise God, even our righteousness is as filthy rags. But, oh, Father, be grateful unto us, O Lord. Look upon us, Father God, and Father God, forgive us of all of our shortcomings. And Father God, let not, praise God, our prayers be hindered. But Lord, have you open your heart that you might receive, praise God, what is said to them this morning, that you will be pleased in the name of Jesus. But Father God, it's not of me, but it's of you. And Father God, I give you the glory and I give you the honor. I take no fame. If anything be, I let it go to Calvary. And Father, I am blessed this morning. I do give you praise, and I do give you honor throughout this day. Bind Satan on every hand, Holy Father. Bind him, praise God, from the east, the west, the north, the south. Father God, you have the strength, the power to bind him. And Satan, this morning I say to you, the Lord thy God rebuke you in his name, in the name of Jesus. For every demon has to flee. Every demon has to flee. And every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow to that name. And God, I'm grateful this morning, and I do thank you, and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. And this morning, praise the Lord, I just want to come before you just to praise the Lord and give you, praise God, things that would encourage you and things that you may know, praise God, that you can seek after the things that are God. Seek those things that are God, those things that are life. The things that are life, because everything else, my friend, is going to pass away. It shall, praise God, demolish. It shall diminish. There will be no more, but the word of God shall stand. Amen. And this morning, praise God, I'm coming to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, 1 through 10. And I'm going to talk to you today about first things first. You know, I remember, praise God, coming up, I used to hear a dust say, put first things first. Putting first things first means, praise God, to put it in order. You cannot start at 10 and think that you're going to, you know, you put it in order when you didn't start from 1. You have to start with first things first. And this morning we're talking about that, praise God, in the book of Philippians 3, chapter 3, 1 through 10. And we're just telling you this morning, it starts out, praise God, he is saying, it has been said that we know the cost of everything and the value. We know this, praise God, and the value of nothing. But of course, praise God, there is a lot of difference between cost and value. Of course, there is a lot of difference between the cost and the value. But you got to understand the value means something that has the quality or something, praise God, that has, that will connect us to being a value, being valuable or desirable. It is something of great worth, talking about value here. Now, that the Bible, we have to understand, because the Bible was one of the first books ever printed. That's value, my friend. That's value that was ever printed. That was a copy that had been sold for $2 million. That's a lot of value. But you see, praise God, I don't know if that has ever happened anywhere else, you know, but it makes a good point. It makes a good point, praise God, the value of the Word of God. See, sometimes people do not really know what they have until they take the full advantage of it. And sometimes we suffer great loss because we do not know, listen to me carefully, or accept the values of something we have. Yes. See, you have something of value, but if you don't know what you have, then you do not know the value of it. Amen. We're talking about this morning putting first things first. And you see, we're talking today, we're going to talk a little about temporal worth versus eternal worth in Philippians 3, 1 and 5. Because we understand, praise God, as I said from the beginning, that we deal with now on this earth is only temporal. And I believe the Word of God says only vanity. Only vanity. Everything shall pass away. Everything, my friend. Even to your money, your cars. I mean, you, your clothes. Your education, everything will pass away. Everything will pass away but the Word of God, because these things are only temporal, meaning simply something that is temporal. That's what it means. And see, today we're going, today, and it's gone tomorrow. We got it today, but it's gone tomorrow. You see, that means it's temporal. It vanishes. It disappears. It has no value to it. It is something that has no lasting value whatsoever. But you see, temporal, the word temporal is connected to our material, you know, possessions. In fact, most things in our life are temporal. Most things in our life are temporal, my friend. And we put more value in those things than we put it into the Word of God, which is, praise God, everlasting and into eternity. The Word of God do not change. The Word of God do not pass away. The Word of God will be here when you, I, and every other generation will come through. The Word of God will stand. Amen. This is what we need to be investing in, into the Word of God, because first things first. The Word should be first because it is everlasting. It is eternal. Yet we put great value on these things that has no meaning. Now here, praise God, we're talking about Paul mentioned his human credentials. To the Jews, one birth, you know, birth is education, praise the Lord, religious, stating that he was proud. He was very proud in those things. But in fact, praise God, if we read in the book of John 3, records Jesus encountered with the Pharisees Nicodemus, who was the most Jew, who liked it most Jews, you see. And he placed his eternal destiny in the coming kingdom of God on his birthright and his good works. But see, that didn't work. Because he didn't know, praise God. Here is a Jew, praise God, that everybody bowed to. And when he said run, they run. When he said jump, they jump. Nicodemus, when he said come, they come. When he said go, they go. When he said bow, they bow. This man was authoritative. He had power, but he didn't know who Jesus was. So all those things he had was temporal. It was no value to that. But you see, praise God, it says here, praise God, it says in the kingdom of God, it's the birthright of his good works. He bragged on that. He thought he had something that was of something. If any man think of himself more than what he is, he must be trusting in his flesh. Paul says that his human credentials were impressive. Yes. You know, he sounds like he is bragging. But what he said, and it is true, and he mentioned it, to just to make an important point. And so I'm just mentioning it to make a point. He was true about it. Paul said he was circumcised the eighth day of the Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin as a Pharisee. But concerning the zeal, the persecution of the church, of course you didn't know if you did. Let me just explain to you. Paul was one, praise God, that he was not always a Christian. He was one, praise God, he was a heathen. Because what he did, he was set out to kill every Christian that came across his path. But you see, praise God, righteousness came. And the touching the righteousness, which is the law of blameless, at two zeal, from he was a Judaism. Paul was blameless. In fact, he stood ahead and shoulder above most. He was zealous, and he proved it by trying to destroy Christians whom he saw as a threatening Judaism. We saw him as no good. He wanted to kill them out. But you see, and Paul lived his belief. He was no hypocrite. He just believed what he said he believed in. Now, to bring that a little clearer, it explains the reality of all that he thought that was dear to him before he came to Christ. Whatever he believed in, he put it first. He said he was the chief sinner. Chief sinner. See, he didn't pretend to be one. He was a full-blooded sinner. He didn't pretend. He was full-blooded. Whatever he did it to the fullest. Whatever he did it first, and he did it well. He put the first thing first in his belief. And what am I saying to you this morning? Are you putting first things first in your belief? Do you believe that Jesus is going to return? Do you believe that he's coming back just like he said he would? It will happen. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. Jesus will return, and sooner than you think. The signs of the times is in the atmosphere. Thank you, Father. You can overlook it. You can close your eyes to it. You can shut it out your mind. It is okay. But if I was you, my friend, I would need to know and want to know all that I need to know about his return. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. But what things was gained to me, Paul said, those I counted lost for Christ. But see, he couldn't count those things lost for Christ until he became one of his. And you see, Nicodemus could not expect and could not accept and understand that what Jesus said, you must be born again, until he became one of his. Because he had first things first, is that I cannot go back into my mother's womb twice, for I am an old man. But you see, he didn't understand. See, the Bible says, out of all thy getting, let's get some understanding. You see, the natural-minded man cannot conceive the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So when I talk to some, praise God, about Jesus coming back, they say it's stupid, it's foolishness. Because they don't understand, because they don't have a relationship with him. They are not connected to him, praise God, so they don't expect him to return. But he will return in his glory. Ah, Jesus, yes. He will return in his glory. Now, Paul had a change in his understanding. So we just said, out of all that, getting his understanding. He says these things. That were his whole life, in his whole life, he now deemed as lost. But before he said all these things he had was of such a value. He counted all, you know, it was his life. It was tangible. It was his gold. It was his silver. But then when he came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, he says these things that were his whole life is now dim as lost. You see, what he was saying in the meaning of lost, it means it's interesting. It does not mean just something a person does not have anymore. It doesn't mean just that. It means something a person does not have anymore, but rather something that is destroyed. It was destroyed. Christ destroyed it. He destroyed it when he knocked him off of his horse, when he was on his way to kill the Christians. You see, one thing I want to just put this in here, and I will get back to that at another praise God, another message. You have to understand, during the time of Easter, see, many times we celebrate stuff we know not what we celebrate. It's only mentioned once in the Bible, Easter. But you got to understand, it was only mentioned during that time because during that time, Paul was out sending out soldiers, and they were out hunting Christians to kill, to murder. They was not hiding eggs that didn't belong to the rabbit. They was not out hiding eggs. That people run around and put eggs in hide them in the bushes, taking the chicken egg, giving it to the rabbit. He was not doing that. See, that doesn't make any sense anyway. How do you take a chicken egg, steal his egg, and give it to a rabbit that don't even lay a chicken egg? Come on, somebody. See, we do things because we get caught up in stuff, and we do it because everybody else does it, and we think it's okay to do it, but it is not. So he was not looking for eggs. He was not out there trying to hide them. He was out into the fields and into the hedges and the highways killing Christians. That's what he was doing that time, during that time. So what he was saying right here, he said, see, because he counted all loss. He counted that something, praise God, was destroyed. And it also referred to something that has been violently damaged. It was violently damaged. All that he thought was good, all that he thought he was getting away with, he was doing it because it made him feel proud. It made him push his chest out. He did something, you know, something great. They were lifting him up. But all that came to naught. It was like a ship, and the cargo that was in a storm, it was lost. The sea beats it and it destroys it. Now in verse 8, using the word again, but it's a little different. I counted all loss but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord. Now it's his Lord. But before, he was mocking God. It has the meaning of something. It is used also in Mark in 8:26. But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It don't profit you anything. You can have all you have. You could be the biggest millionaire walking the face of this earth. It does not matter. Because one thing I do know, if you do not know who Jesus is, all of this you have means zero, nada, nada, nothing. You will not take it with you. The most important thing anyone can do for themselves is to invest in the kingdom of God and know who Jesus is, get a relationship with him, and be ready, praise God, when he returns. Spend your money. I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you at all. Enjoy. But God is not saying you not to have it, but he was just saying don't make it your God because it's not going to save you. Put first things first. See, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what profits you? In Mark 8:36, Jesus was stating it was violent loss to trade one's soul. Listen to me carefully. Those that have sold, they sold to the devil because they want fame. Lord have mercy. Jesus was stating violent loss to trade one's soul for that which was a material in this world. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. You trade your soul for the things of the world. In other words, what he's saying is that salvation has changed, has not changed. changed his whole perspective on what he was valued in life. See, Paul was, I told you, Paul was out to kill. He was a murderer. He was actually slaughtering the Christians, those that believed in anything except what he believed in, killing them. But now he's talking different because he said, those things that I would do, I could not do. And the things that I could do, I would not do. He said, but oh, wretched man that I am, who delivered me from this body of sin, this old flesh? Who did it? Jesus did it. He came into his life. He was on his way to kill the Christian God. He was on his horse ride. He said, I saw a great big light, and it shone, and I couldn't see it, but he heard a voice that stated, Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But it is hard to kick against the prick. Don't kick against the prick. It is hard to kick against the prick. And he knocked him from his horse. And when he fell from his horse, he was blind. He could not see. But God had the plan for him. He had one there, praise God, to go and to take him and to take him, to pick him up, to lead him where he wanted him to go. See, trade and trust for eternal riches. In Philippians 3:8, Paul used five particles before Paul proceeded. And yet indeed, therefore, at least even showing the force and the passion of his conviction. Paul was actually using words of different terminology, and it meant, praise God, yet he was doubling. He was doubling his speaking because what he did, God was letting him know, I'm going to change your status. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to give you a new beginning, and I'm going to show you, Paul, how to put first things first. And here God has given us a precious jewel, something that is so powerful and unlimited value. He has given us a principle to direct our lives and to live and to apply it by gaining untold benefits, both now and into eternity. You see, Jesus had to die before the will was even written. When it was written, he gave it to us. Those who believe in him was given a will, and that will is the word of God. If you do not know the word, you do not read the word, you do not study the word, you do not know your benefits. You see, we can count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All things means nothing is exclusive. Nothing is too important. Nothing is too valuable to be given that gives us to gain the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you gain the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you gain your benefit through your will. And your will is the word of God. Amen. The excellence means that which is superior and supreme. Nothing is greater and better than the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can have it all. You can take what you will in this world, but you can have what you will or may, and it's okay, and it's okay. God knows I'm not jealous of you, but I do know one thing. You can have that, but you need to have him first. The knowledge that the verse speaks of, it's compassion and just knowing of Jesus Christ. It is understanding that it is real and unsurpassed. The implication is that this knowledge of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is the most important thing in a person's life, in your life. The most important thing in your life should be Jesus Christ. It is his first. Make him first in your life. The word declares, but first seek ye the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all these other things I will add unto you. But you got to put me first. Don't put that before me. Your pride, your car, your money, your clothing, your success, your careers, you're putting it first. But put me first. Put me first and let me show you how I can do what I want to do for you. But the implication is that this knowledge of Jesus Christ is the most important thing in a person's life. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't really care if you come from Timbuktu. You still need to know who Jesus is, and you must put him first. I wouldn't care if you don't even walk on earth, you just glide in the air. you still better know who Jesus is. With this knowledge, everything else is made worthwhile. You see, when you got Jesus in your life and you have your money, you spend big and you are big and you got him in your life, even everything else is made worthwhile. Because you don't take him for granted, you put him first. That's all he's asking. Put me first. Paul said it. He has suffered loss. We need to understand the word a little bit better, you see. It means to experience. He has experienced the loss of temporal things of the world and given them up for Jesus Christ. Leave someone misunderstand now and think he has suffered the loss of something that was valued. He adds this. I count them as dungeon. You know what a dungeon is? Dungeon is only used here in the New Testament. It refers to something thrown to dogs or to refuse, or the refuse of any kind. And he also says this. He gives us, praise God, an objective of his giving up the temporal things of the world was to win or gain Christ. You got to give it up to get him. You cannot have him and compare him with the things of the world. He's not of this world. See, God is telling us, praise God, that there is nothing in this world that compares to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is a knowing in salvation and a knowing in living one's life as the Lord directs it versus what is knowledge. It is having the knowledge of who God is and of his love for us. It is the knowledge of Jesus' sacrifice for us for his personally and of his love in paying our sin debt. It is knowing one's sins are forgiven. It is having the assurance of salvation and the blessing. It is having joy and peace in one's heart. It is the satisfaction of knowing you are not at odds with our Creator. It is knowing what is your purpose here. What are you here for? But this, when you know Jesus Christ, it gives you your purpose. It is knowing your purpose for being on this earth. It is knowing your presence of God in all the circumstances, both good and bad. Now, if we continue saying it, it is knowing the reality that we have no righteousness of our own, but that God has declared us righteous through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you are righteous. The only way you are righteous is through Jesus Christ. And Paul expressed the reality that God offers us in salvation. It is the fruits and the results of being saved, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, in Philippians 3:10. We must understand, praise God, that without him, praise God, in our lives, everything is not even in order. We must, praise God, seek him first, that we may know him. And in seeking him, we, praise God, become connected to what he's saying to us, I want you to be with me in eternity. But in a short time, Paul was taken to a place of execution. His sentence was spiritually death. Was he read? The executioner stood by and ready to perform his horrible act. We do not have a record of his event. It was a private matter. As Paul faced his death, that he knew in the moment would occur. And as his head and his neck was placed on the block, I know what was in his mind. Only moments away from the glories of sin, our Savior face to face and anxious at the sound of being executed, yet totally confident in his result. I would think he would close his eyes, his mind totally fixed on the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which blocked out the swinging of the axe. If God should call you home today, would you be ready? Are you ready to meet him? Are you fearful? Get to know who Jesus is. Seek him while he yet can be found. There will come a time, my friend, You will look for him, but he will not be around. Put first things first. Invite him into your life. If you don't know him today, ask him into your life. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Seek him while he can be found. I pray, praise God, that the word has blessed your spirit today. And I'm asking, praise, don't forget, praise God, to go to facebook.com/Pastor Ola Starling and listen to the word. Listen to the word of God. It will, praise God. It will help you and it will direct you. You'll be blessed throughout this day. Have a blessed day.